Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, August 31st, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you to the podcast. And it's good to be back. I've been away for a few weeks, and it is just really nice to be back doing this thing that we do together every week. And let's just jump right in. I got to get the rust off. So let's do what is our custom and practice here, which is to begin in a deep spirit of gratitude. And we begin by taking a deep breath and holding on to that breath, savoring that breath and giving thanks to God for each and every breath. And let it go. Because this is the breath of life, a gift from Almighty God. And as you breathe, call to mind the people and the places, the situations and the opportunity that fill you with joy. Bring a smile to your face, perhaps. Call them to mind. Hold them in your hands out in front of you and then present them to God. Maybe take your hands and put them way out wide. Turn your face toward the sky and maybe let a smile come to your face. In this posture and in this spirit, let's begin together in worship.
Come, beloved of God, to the banquet prepared for you. We come seeking the place Christ has prepared. Here the humble are lifted up and the lowly are honored. We come desiring the heart of a servant. All are welcome, the poor, the forgotten, the stranger, and the broken. We come as guests of grace, ready to share in God's feast. Let us worship the Lord of mercy and love. We rejoice and give thanks, for Christ has called us to the table. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke 14, chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friend or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.
Heavenly Father, we gather together in this moment. We claim the gift of Sabbath and Sabbath rest, and take this opportunity to lean in and reflect on this, your good and living word. But we need your help. We pray, O God, that you would save us. Save us from misinterpretation and distraction. Calm us, center us, so that we could truly hear what it is you're saying to each and every one of us as individuals and as your church, the body of Christ. We pray all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, we are blessed today with this story in Luke's gospel. This story that I like to think of is a lesson in divine etiquette. Jesus has been invited to a gathering on a Sabbath day at the home of a Pharisee. This is a gathering of the societal elite, the erudite class, the named names, the A-listers will be at this Sabbath meal. And they've invited Jesus. I think it's safe to assume that they haven't invited Jesus because they consider him part of their class. They have invited him because they've found him a threat. And they need to learn a little bit more about him. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer, as the saying goes. So the invitation is very likely not authentic and filled with warmth and hospitality. They've got their eye on him. And what they might not realize is he has his eyes on them as well. And so we notice this. The lectionary gives us the opening of the invitation and then jumps to the seventh verse. Jesus noticing, when he noticed how the guest chose the places of honor, he tells them a parable. And the parable comes in two parts, really. It's a parable as a lesson for those who have been invited and are selecting a seat. And then the parable flips to the lesson for the one who's holding the gathering. And it's a similar lesson for both, that you ought to approach either being the guest or the host with much greater humility. Be a little bit more curious, a little bit more open-minded, and you might find that there is a blessing in store for you beyond, well beyond the vanity of social status. So he starts with the parable for the guests. And he says, when you're invited to a wedding, when you're invited to a gathering like this, your inclination might be, oh, there's a good seat open right in the front. I think I'll take it while no one is looking. And you don't know in mind, you don't know what the host has in mind, but you see the empty seat and the opportunity to kind of stake out your space. And then the host comes in. And you've put the host in an awkward position. He likes you, but he was hoping to seat his motivations are also, you know, I'm trying to make a deal with this guy over here, and this guy is a big donor over here. I want them in seats one and two, and now I've got Jim sitting in this seat. And now the people have come in, and there's this awkward moment where the host has to say, Jim, I hate to do this to you, but I wanted these two over here. I'm working on a deal. You got to do me a favor. I think there's still a seat in the back of the room. Why don't you have that seat? And I'll catch up with you later. Now you're in the position. You've got to pick up your stuff and move to the back of the room. Everyone's looking at you. And because of the character and the nature of this meal, everyone's seeing this thing as a demotion. You've slid down the several rungs in the social ladder. And then he flips it. Jesus flips the story to the perspective of the hosts. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. Which, I mean, at its surface, it seems, well, why wouldn't you invite any of those people? But again, I think it's the point, it's the nature of the gathering. This is a Sabbath meal. And if you're truly gathering in the name of the Sabbath, of the gift of a time to eat and reflect and learn from one another, really take a break from the grind of the day-to-day, don't invite people thinking, you know, if I invite so-and-so, maybe he'll invite me. Or if I invite so-and-so, maybe I'll get that deal. Let your invitation be pure. Let it be about friendship and fellowship and love and connection. And so who might be on that list when you give a banquet, Jesus says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. How does that fall on the ears of the people in this room? They've all gathered on a Sabbath, but did they gather to celebrate the Sabbath? Did they gather to celebrate the generosity that is the grace of God? Did they gather to celebrate the provisions that they've been given and the divine responsibility that comes with them? In a sense, Jesus is saying to all of them, are you educated? Are you literate? Do you have the resources to put on a gathering like this, and then just do it amongst yourselves? How? Where is the spiritual growth in that? How do you make new connections? How does this square with what you hear preached from the sacred stories and texts? How does this square with the teaching about your responsibility to the poor, the afflicted, the widow, and the orphan? I'm looking around this Sabbath room, says Jesus, and I am not seeing any one of those people invited here. This is just a networking event. Gatherings like this make it obvious. But I think mealtime and meetings and stuff you might have been a part of in your working life or when you're in school, I mean, this stuff really kind of starts, some of this social networking and positioning begins the first time you went through the cafeteria line in elementary school. And you're walking with your little lunchbox or your tray and you're scanning the room to find a place to sit. And you probably early on knew instinctively that I can't sit there. That's where the cool people sit. Or maybe Maybe you were actually one of the cool people and you thought, I can't sit over there with those goobers. I'm going to sit here. And those social castes get set early. And when we're lucky, as we kind of age on, maybe that's late high school or into a college setting or early work life, some of those things break down. But a lot of it gets ingrained. And this is one of Jesus' many teachings that I think where he could say, the kingdom of the heavens is like this. One of these Sabbath meals, when you live as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, when you abide by its teachings, when you practice divine etiquette, if you will, and you attend a meal like this, you go in with, a great sense of humor and a sense of, I want to meet somebody new. I'm tired of talking to people who are just like me, because the stories are all the same. I think I'll sit over here. I'll have time to catch up with the host later, but I've never met this person before, and they seem intriguing. Or perhaps something really radical. I'm the host. Then I have my usual colleagues and cronies. And we, you know, we meet for drinks after work on Tuesdays. But today is the Sabbath, a day of blessing, says the Lord, whom I profess to believe in and follow, and I seek to be more like a citizen of the kingdom of the heavens. When I make my list this week for who's coming for Sunday dinner, who's coming for a Sabbath meal, who's coming in the middle of a week because I just want to have a gathering to increase my community. You know, there's this person I pass by every day on my way to work. There's the person that sits at the cool table or the goober table, or you get my point. There's the person that you're missing out on because of status and preconceived understandings. Let's disrupt the mix a little bit, Jesus says. Because when you do that, you will find that perhaps the person you perceive to be unclean, the one you thought was simply a burden, and then you sat and you broke bread and you learned their story, and that perhaps they have a story that is a hero's journey, and they're in the middle of the part where all hope seems lost, and then they met someone at a dinner or a luncheon, or someone just took enough time to pause and say, how are you doing, and listening for the answer. It changed their lives. It changed both of your lives. And there, invited to this group, to shift back to the text, within its setting, this group of this erudite class of people that gets together all the time and tells the same stories and has the same dirt on each other, they invite the itinerant preacher, teacher, rabbi to their party, expecting that they can intimidate and control or manipulate him somehow, get some dirt on him, find a reason to affirm their belief that he's a threat. And he exposes them for how silly the whole thing is. To shift the perspective of the Son of God could be right there at your Sabbath gathering or your lunch table. But if you never took the time to greet him, if you never offered the welcome or the invitation, or can I get something for you, the hospitality, you miss out. But this closing verse for this reading, 14, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. there is I think our souls kind of keep a bit of score for the times when we took a little bit of risk. We risked embarrassing ourselves or stepping out of a certain order of things. That there's a sense of blessing and encouragement, the gift that you feel light up in your spirit for seemingly simple acts of kindness that for some reason take us a little bit of courage to exercise. And I've gone on too long already, I fear. But let's commit ourselves to rereading this story from today's gospel reading and projecting ourselves into it. You might be the host, you might be the guest, or you might feel like the excluded one. In all of it, there is a blessing. If you're the guest, follow the etiquette listed here to be a good guest. And if you're a host, open your mind as to who you might want on your guest list. And to those of you who feel excluded, take hope. Decide in this moment that you can be the host and the guest. Because our true host is this one, is Jesus. The one invited under some false pretense, perhaps. You're already a guest at that feast. And he calls you in your sense of exclusion or being outcast. And says, you can look around, you can maybe turn out your pockets, and there ain't nothing in your pockets but lint. And he says to you, I've chosen you to be a host. I need you to be a host. Invite people into a conversation. Find a place to have a cup of coffee. And find people in your circle and outside of your circle. Ask them about themselves. Tell them about yourself. There's a banquet in conversation that can lead to miracles. And they can begin when we tell the story of the time that we had an encounter with the living Christ, who exists outside of rank or class or financial status. It's the one who takes the time to listen, to offer us hope, to bring us into community, and to remind us that we're loved. And just a final reminder to the church. We are the hosts. We are the ones to exercise this kind of radical hospitality. And we can fall into, and maybe the church can be one of the worst offenders, we can fall into this cliquish behavior. We like talking to ourselves. We like good order. But it's so clear throughout the scriptures, the gospels in particular, that ours is a message of invitation to come to the table and to break the bread and to drink the cup and to confess our sins and to tell our stories, to ask for help and to offer help, all in service to the work and the advancement of the kingdom of God, which is breaking forth right here and now. It really is remarkably good news, to which I say, Amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray. And we're grateful that we can approach you like this. We confess We confess that we sin and we fall short and we mess things up, sometimes willfully. But we come here in this moment to name these things, to call them to mind and to give them over to you, the times when we've been impulsive with our actions or our speech, or the times when we've been overly restrained and fearful to act, fearful to speak. You know us. And so we come to you just as we are. And we pray for your forgiveness. We name these things before you and we pray that you'll heal us. That you'll pick us up and clean us off and put us back on the path and continue to call us to your presence. And we are so thankful. Thankful for every good and perfect gift that comes from your hand. Thankful for the gifts of faith. And we pray over this world, this good world of yours. We pray for people in positions of power and influence. Surprise them. Soften their hearts. Make them agents of grace and peace and faith. And for those who feel that they are lost and abandoned by this world, anoint them, we pray, with fresh hope, new courage, healing, the provision of daily bread, love and encouragement. And you know us, God, each and every one of us. We walk around with a list of joys and concerns. Some of us write them down in the form of a prayer list. Others of us just hold them in mind. And some days they can light us up inside, and sometimes they can cause us to pace the floor in fear and anxiety in the middle of the night. But you've invited us to bring all of this to you. And so in this moment we do. We pray that you would meet each and every one of us right here in this moment of prayer as we turn over our prayer lists to you. We pray that you consider every single word of every single list and that you'd meet us here as we make quiet space to be with you in this moment. Draw near. Speak to our hearts. Help us to know that you hear our prayers and that you care. Meet us here, we pray. We break our silence. And we thank you for the gifts of peace and quiet. We pray that you'd help us to practice these things every day. We pray that you'd hear us as we say together this gift, a gift of faith, a prayer that you taught your first disciples. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, may we do so as practitioners of the divine etiquette, with our eyes keenly open for whom we can invite into the life of Christ, the life of the church, with our eyes and ears open to the places where we are being invited. And know that we do all of this by the grace of God, our God, that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses us and bids us peace. Go in peace. Amen.